Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you.
The Gospel reading for today comes from St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. So when I was in high school, I had a part-time job working as a waiter at a small chain restaurant in southeast Iowa that will remain unnamed. And it was food that I had grown up eating, and this was only my second official job. I had worked jobs, you know, mowing lawns and shoveling snow, but this was only my second official job, so I was really excited to get started. And the first few shifts, they went really well. As I was training and being shown the ropes, it was all clicking for me really well. After a couple of weeks, it was finally time for me to be on my own. I was nervous and excited to prove myself. And of course, I thought that I had it all figured out, as any overconfident 16-year-old boy might. But of course, it's hard to admit, but I made a few mistakes. What I had found out very quickly that mistakes were not accepted by the kitchen staff of this restaurant. Not even one. For if you made a mistake that caused any kind of inconvenience to anybody else, it was met with yelling and very possibly even swearing. Honestly, I think these people could have given a sailor a run for their money with the words that came out of their mouth. It was a lot. And being only 16 at the time, I was embarrassed whenever this would happen. So I would respond by shutting down, keeping my head low for the rest of my shift, trying not to be noticed by the kitchen staff or anybody else. Eventually, to combat this, I turned myself more towards yelling and even sometimes swearing back at the kitchen staff, because it's what everybody else did. I had let myself be changed by the situation that I found myself in. And truthfully, I didn't particularly like the way I acted when I was there. They had created this harsh culture that centered itself on the false idolatry of perfection that so many of us still think that we need to define our self-worth. And so I too picked up this false idol for myself and for years held up my own perfection as my God. Some who are so steeped in this culture of individualism and this pull yourself up by the bootstrap mentality may not understand what the problem here is with any of this. That it's simply just part of having a job, and I should really get over it, right? But I don't think this is how it has to be. I wonder if instead, had the model for community that is found in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, that is presented by Jesus Christ and later taught by Paul, if that was used in our daily interactions instead, how different things could be. what this text in Matthew does is it calls us to ponder together how we want to live with one another and what kind of community we want to create. Is it the one of perfection or is it one of reconciliation? Is it one that is centered on false idols or one that is centered in the love of Jesus Christ? And as children of the Most High, the question then becomes, how are we to be a community of faith with one another? And this may sound like a Sunday school answer to all of our problems, but the best place to start is by looking at first how God is in community with us. There are some that would have you believe that God finds joy and delight only in those who profess the name of Jesus Christ in a church on a Sunday morning at precisely 9:23 a.m. or 11 on the radio later. That God is just waiting around to cast those dirty sinners into the fiery pits of hell. And actually, as I was walking downtown with family and friends yesterday, I heard a roadside preacher proclaiming this message with a speaker and a microphone right downtown for thousands to hear. But believe it or not, folks, this is not how God chooses to be in community with us. This is not how God chooses to present God's self upon the cross. In fact, it's probably as far from our gospel reading for the day as it possibly can be. Instead of acting in ways of guilt and ways of shame, God acts in compassion and mercy to gather us together as one. God's desire is not to split us down the middle as good and evil, left and right, right and wrong, but instead God is constantly working to bring us back together as one and bring those who are outside in. For when the people of Nineveh repent, it is God who turns towards compassion. For when the lost sheep is found, it is God who welcomes them back with open arms. And our text from Ezekiel says that it is this very same God that takes no pleasure, or rather, finds displeasure in the death of the wicked. Think on that one for a moment. It is God's desire for us to continue as the one body of Christ. And God does not find joy when a member is separated from the body, or when whole parts are being cut off. And in Matthew 12, we are reminded that it is a kingdom divided against itself that will come to ruin. And so, we are called into this work of reconciliation, this work of striving to be at peace with one another, to move towards agreement and common ground, to put our hope not in ourselves, but in the cross, that we will all be brought back into the fold as those lost sheep and celebrate the unity of all, rather than looking and searching for separation of those we do not like or those we do not agree with. To look past what makes us different and instead look to the shared compassion in Jesus Christ that comes forth like a free-flowing fountain. But a little side note here, a word of caution, if you will, because I want to be clear, I need to be clear in this, that it does not mean that we throw accountability out the window. Forgiveness and reconciliation is not the same as the lack of accountability and consequence. Instead, we often need accountability in order to achieve reconciliation. Through all of this, we are called to continuously repent. After all, there is actually a reason that we begin our worship services with the rite of confession and forgiveness. We begin with this rite so that way we may start our time together by confessing that we are indeed bound by sin, and that we hear these words of forgiveness so that we may get to the other side of the cross and be brought back into life. And while we recognize this forgiveness while we are together, It is important that we hold one another accountable in our relationships with one another and with God. For when we ignore harm that is being done, we tend to do harm to the most vulnerable in our communities that are on the receiving end of this harm. And so, we call out bad faith, not because we find joy in it, but because it is this bad faith that does the most harm to those in need of our protection. This work isn't easy. Jesus does not give us the impression that it is, but instead, it is a long and oftentimes painful process. A painful process that hopefully leads us to healing. Jesus presents us with a process that goes beyond screaming, that goes beyond yelling or swearing at one another, but instead can lead us towards conversation and understanding by pulling the person aside and having a vulnerable and hopefully healing conversation that is shrouded in the mercy and love of God. And if that doesn't work, what we are told is then you find a small group of people not to attack the person, but to bring before them the genuine harm that has been done to the community. And if this still doesn't work, it is then and only then that this issue is brought before the larger faith community to talk about the harm and the hurt that has been done. In this process, there is not gossip, there is not shame, and there is not a predetermined end goal of trying to exile. But instead, there is an attempt to provide healing to those who have been harmed, and grace to those who have erred, just as we all have. And if they still do not listen, then Jesus says they are to be regarded as a Gentile or a tax collector. And while this may sound harsh, let us remember how it is that Jesus deals with Gentiles and tax collectors, by showing them love and bringing them back in. While this process isn't one that is going to work 95-90% of the time, what it highlights overall is the importance of compassion, even in the midst of conflict. We are called to show love, even to those we do not agree with, or even to those who have caused harm. However difficult that is, because it is difficult, we are to love those and recognize the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we forget all of this, and we yell and we swear, only to come to regret what we said and did, we remember that the same forgiveness you are called to have for one another is also for you. And sometimes the hardest person we find to forgive is ourselves. And maybe that calls for you to pull yourself aside and have that hard conversation between you and God. But there is comfort found in knowing that when we lack forgiveness for others, that there is enough forgiveness to go around. Again, this does not mean that we have to continue to let the person cause harm, because as much as that person deserves forgiveness, you also deserve to be able to live in the joy that comes from God. Forgiveness is not permission to allow a person to stay among the people they continue to do harm to. Sometimes the best we can do is shower the person in God's blessing, create space, and move on. Allow God to deal with the rest. That is, I think, one of the greatest words of peace that we can find, that it is not our responsibility to deal with the matters of sin. That's God's doing. Instead, we are to meet each other with a spirit of hospitality and a spirit of grace. And as always, meet them in love. Love, being the fulfillment of the law, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans. In his reinterpretation of the Hebrew laws, Paul says that it is in the love that we have received from God and the Son, Jesus Christ, that we are able to fulfill any of the laws that we come up against. This love isn't a new idea, as so many people think that it is with Jesus Christ. when we look at the commandments of God as being boundaries that keep us in community with one another, rather than strict rules used to punish, as so many people do, we can see that love has been the guiding principle all along. This law and the fulfillment of it is what brings unity, and it brings peace even in the midst of discord. It is in this very same fulfillment of the law, this love, that brings us into reconciliation, that brings us from death into life, the life that God desires for us and the life that Jesus brings to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we celebrate in every age. The very same Spirit that we bring into a room when we enter with this kind of grace for one another. We are all going to mess up from time to time. We are going to yell, we are going to scream, and sometimes it's even justified. We all, at times, will hurt one another, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Not a single one of us is perfect. We aren't meant to be. We are indeed all sinners, but as most of us have been taught, we are both sinner and saint. Those who were once condemned but have been saved by grace through the faith that is found in Jesus Christ. Upon the cross that clothes each and every single person with his love and his forgiveness. And everybody you come across today is clothed in the same article of grace. Clothed in the grace and mercy that can only come from the love that has been shown to us. In the forgiveness that we all received and keep needing to receive every time we mess up. For no matter how hard we try, we know that we are not perfect. And we aren't expected to be, because whatever inadequacies, there's one of mine, we think we may have, those are filled in by the love of God that we no longer need to be kept down by our sin and by our shame. We no longer need to be weighed down by our thoughts of being unworthy. We no longer need to strive for that false idol of perfection. For it is through the cross that you have been made whole and worthy of all of the love and forgiveness that you receive this day through the cross of Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.